This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Chukas. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis that there are a number of mitzvahs Klal Yisrael were commanded in Mara. The Sheva mitzvahs B'nai Noach, Dinin, Shabbos, Kibud Av V'Em. Rashi and Chumash has a different version. Rashi and Chumash says Para Aduma as well. In Mara, Rashi says we were given certain Parshios, Shabbos, Para Aduma, Dinin. Also, Rashi says this in Parshas Mishpatim. Rishonim bring this down. The Arzaruah brings it down. So the Chassam Sofer asks a very important question. Namely, Rashi in Parshas Chukas brings from Rav Moshe Adarshan, what's the rationale for the Parah Aduma? Mashal, that if a mother I'm going to revamp the mashal for contemporary times. A father brings a kid to shul. The kid has no business being in shul. He can't read the Aleph Beis. All he could do is consume lollipops. So stamazoi, it's child abuse. You bring the kid to shul to eat lollipops, you're training the kid to become obese from the time that they're young. That's the main problem in America. People eat too much sugar. So why are you bringing the kid to shul? You wanna destroy the health of the kid, so stuff him with lollipops at home. You have to do it in the shul? In the shul, you bring him to the Kodesh HaGadol, and then, okay. Anyway, okay, I know it's a very big inyan for children to hear Amen Yehi Rabba. The kid anyway can't answer. He has so many lollipops. He has this big lollipop in his mouth. There's like a golf ball of gum inside. It's coated with, anyway. But besides that, right, the kid takes a lollipop. He then smears it all over the tablecloth. So the president of the shul goes, actually, a friend of mine who's the president in a shul nearby told me his responsibility is he has to watch the videotape after Shabbos and literally find out which kid is responsible for destroying the walls of the shul, and then going over to the parent's house and playing the videotape. Seriously, he has to play the videotape for the parent because the parent said, no, not my kid. So he has to literally play the videotape. Anyway, somebody said that the mussar that I was giving about the Kiddush Club, somebody commented it was passive-aggressive. So it's not passive. This is aggressive. I'm not passive. This is not passive. I'm not hiding anything. It's straight up, straight on. Anyway, so you tell the father, your kid made the mess. You got to clean up, right? Rashi says the mashal is a mother has a kid. The kid makes a big mess. You tell the mother, clean up the mess of your kid. Rashi says that's the pshat in the Parah Aduma. Klal Yisrael sinned with the egel. So Yavoi ima v'kaneach albana, the mother comes and has to clean up the child's mess. So the Chassam Sofer has an amazing question. Chassam Sofer says, really, the reason for Parah Aduma, it's a tikkun for the Chedo Egel, but Rashi says that Parah Aduma was given in Mara. Mara was well before the Chedo Egel. How could the Parah Aduma be a tikkun for the Chedo Egel if the Parah Aduma was given before the Chedo Egel? That's Chassam Sofer's kasha. So obviously, on a simple level, it can't really be the reason for the Chedo Egel. If that was the reason for the Chedo Egel, it wouldn't be a Chayk. It's obviously just an understanding, a tam. It helps us appreciate the mitzvah, but it's not the real reason. In the Sefer Chavetz Hashon, he brings that it could be the Shagas Aryeh in Masech Yuma and Daf Beis in Gvuras Ari. He brings that there were many parais. There was the para that Moshe Rabbeinu made, and then there were another 9 parais in history. Only the para that Moshe made was a kapar for the Chet Ha'egal. The para that was given in Mara was like all the other parais. They weren't a tikkun for the Chedo Egel. The Shagas Aryeh says only the para of Moshe Rabbeinu was a tikkun for the Egel. So the para of Mara was the regular para. That was given for them to be nesasek by. But the para of Moshe, which was la'achar matan Torah, that was a tikkun for the Chet Ha'egel. Okay, a next kasha, the Chassam Sofer. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Gimel and Beis says, we know in the context of the Parah Aduma, the pasuk says, "Zois hatayra adam ki amos ba'ayhel." This is the law of somebody who dies in the tent. Amar Reish Lakish, Ein divrei Torah miskaimin ela b'mi shamei misatzmai alea. Torah is only fulfilled in someone who kills themselves over it. Shenemar zois ha-Torah adam kiyamos ba'oyal. The Rambam codifies divrei Torah is not sustained in someone who slackens off. Not if you're gonna, you could, you know, if your learning consists of putting your feet up, sipping lemonade, and having someone fan you and feed you grapes at the same time, that's not a learning that will be sustained. Obviously, the person has to rest. So if while you rest, you're also learning, great. But your learning has to be done in a way where you apply yourself. Anyway, the Chassam Sofer's kasha is, what in the world does this have to do with the Paraduma? Why in the context of a person who died, right? We're talking about somebody who died in a tent. And we're talking about someone who touches him or contracts Tomas Oihel. Why in that context does the Torah choose to allude to us about that we have to learn Torah in a way where we apply ourselves, we, so to speak, are willing to limit our intake of pleasure and sleep? Why is it taught Dafka in this context? So the Chassam Sofer says that in Masechta Yadayim, the people complained on the teaching of Chazal. Chazal say that if you touch a scroll, it makes your hands tameh. But if you touch secular books, they're not metameh yadayim. That's counterintuitive. That you touch Sifrei Kodesh, you touch Megillas Esther, it makes your hands tameh. You touch, if you touch the world's almanac, it doesn't make your hands tameh. Why? And the Chachamim answered, what do you mean? The bones of a donkey don't make you tameh. The bones of Yochanan and Kohen Gadol make you tameh. Why? The holier something is, the more tumah it could create. So therefore, I would think that someone who exerted themselves and applied themselves in Talmud Torah and spent their whole life learning, I would think they're not metameh. Yes, this is the Parsha Paraduma. Yes, somebody dies, they make someone tameh. But maybe a Talmud Chacham who spent his whole life learning Torah is not metameh. So the Pasuk says, no, just the opposite. Even Adam Kiyomos Ba'oyel, even somebody who applies himself their whole life to Talmud Torah, even they are metameh. Adaraba, they're metameh more. That's why in the context of Tomas Meis, we have this teaching of Reish Lakish, Ein Divrei Torah, Miskaimim, El B'mi, Shamei, Misatzmai, Aleha. Okay, now this is very interesting. Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says, regarding the Paraduma, because you know the Gemara discusses in Chulin, how do we know we follow a Roiv? What's the source we follow a Roiv? The fact that we take Achrei Rabim Lahatais. But maybe that's only if you have what we call Ruba de Isa Kaman, meaning you have 20 judges say innocent, 3 guilty, so we have all the numbers in front of us, we follow Roiv. How do you know you follow Roiv by Lesa Kaman, meaning statistical Roivs? So Gemara says, well, the fact we take a Paraduma, and we don't know it's not a Trefa. How do we know it's not a trefa? Maybe we can't see the lungs, right? You can't open it up before. So the fact that we could use a paraduma, that shows we follow a rive. However, if you look in Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, he says something out of this world. He says on the pasuk v'shachad oisa lefanav, you shech the paraduma before Elazar HaKohen, says Targum yachos yasei kadmoi betrain simana, you search the Paraduma for 18 trefais. You're going to actually be boideik and search the Paraduma to see if it has any of the 18 trefais. So Shal Shachuvah's Beis Yitzchak asks, what do you mean you search the Paraduma for 18 trefais? Don't we always follow Roiv? And Elamai, this is the source that we follow Roiv. And how in the world are you going to check it? The only way to check it is to open it up. If you open it up, it's done. It can't be a kosher paradum anymore. You have to burn it shlema. You have to burn the Parah Aduma Shlema. So what in the world does Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel say? You check the Parah Aduma, but Yud Ches Trefais. You can't check it. You have to burn it whole. So the Beis Yitzchak brings, many years we actually gave a share just on this. Tosfos in Shabbos, Chaf Beis Amud Beis says, that the Amud Ha'anan illuminated for Klal Yisrael for 40 years. That it was able, the Amud Ha'anan would shine on a barrel and you could see what was inside. You have these guys, they make these Purim videos. They're drinking. They're not drinking, it's apple juice. But how are you supposed to know, right? You can't see what's in. So in the Midbar, the Amud Anan shone on the barrel and you could see what's inside. Basically, it had X-ray vision. It could see, it scanned. So by the para, so the Beis Yitzchak brings the para Rishayna in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, they checked it with the Amud Anan. So that's, they didn't have to open it up. How could we bring a raya that we follow a roy by para aduma if they actually checked it? No, they didn't bring a raya from the para of Moshe, like we started with from the Shagas Aryeh. There were 10 parais. The first para of Moshe, they didn't follow roy. They actually checked it. The other parais, they had to follow roy. Let me see if I have anything else here for you. Okay, one more zach. Another kasha l'chsam sefer. It says Han Perak Yotes, this week's parsha. Hanoi Ge Abimei Yislachol Nefesh Adam V'Tamei Shivas Yamim. Remember that pasuk? Hanoi Ge Abimei. You touch a dead body of any person, you're tamei for 7 days. Hu Yischata Boi. Then it says V'Mlo Yischata. If you don't purify, Lo Yitar. Kol Hanoi Ge Abimei Sbenefesh. Anyone who touches a mess. He's matame. That's what we said in the beginning. It says hanoi geya b'meis. So why does it repeat kol hanoi geya b'meis? That's the question of the Chassam Sofer. It's repetitive. The Brisker Rav says the first part of the pasuk is talking about dine tumas meis. That applies any type of tumas meis, whether you touch a mess or even if you touch a revius of dam, right? A revius of dam is metame. In fact, there's a big question. When Yoshio HaMelech was pierced, it says Yirmiah was like wallowing over each revius of dam. There's a question, Yirmiah is a koyein. How could he touch the revius of dam of Yoshiyahu? The Seifa, the Pasuk, is talking about entering the Mikdash Betuma. That we paskin, that you're not chayiv for Tumas Mikdash, for any Tumas Hameis. Only a tumah that a nazir would be megaleach. That you need a chatzilug. So therefore it says, kol hanoi geya b'meis, dafka b'tameh b'noga b'tumah sha nazir megaleach olav. So the first tumah is tumas meis in general. Anyone who comes into any contact with a meis is tameh for 7 days. But the second pasuk is talking about when you're chayiv for entering the mikdash b'tumah. Entering the mikdash is dafka b'noi geya. Not other forms of Tumas Meis. Rabbi Yisai, have a great day, and I hope everybody could join us later tonight, Mincha 7:15. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.